Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. We just got done doing our Ask Greg segment. And Greg, I am going to remember to announce the winner this week. How about that? Our winner is Jason from Quakertown. Jason asked the question about the transfer portal. His timing was exceptional. Maybe that had something to do with him winning this, because in quarter number four, we are going to talk about the transfer portal. And we're going to look at it, Greg, in a little bit different way. Earlier in the week, I did this same kind of segment with Dustin. And here's the premise. I am going to put you in charge of college football. You are the czar. You are the king. This is your baby. You get to do what you want with it. And the transfer portal's been getting a lot of conversation. A lot of folks are wondering if it's good for college football or not. I'll start with this. I'm going to give you the power to make changes to the transfer portal. First of all, should there be changes to the portal?
Well, yeah, it's a great question, Jim. I mean, look, there's not one size fits all for this transfer portal, because, you know, you have people who want the players to have all the power. You have people who think that it has unintended consequences. You have people who think that the transfer portal has created an easy way out for today's college athletes, and that when things don't go well, they don't have to fight through adversity. They can just move to another school. So, does the portal need to be changed? You know, I don't think it does. I really don't. Now, the thing that's tough, though, is that everyone can see from the outside looking in, Jim, that there are more people that go into the portal that come out of it. And there's a lot of guys who give up scholarships thinking they're going to find one somewhere else, and they don't. So, you know, that's a particular challenge, but how do you deal with that? You know, how do you protect kids from themselves to an extent? I don't know what the answer is. Do you give them the chance to come back to their school and not lose their scholarship? Is there some kind of grace period involved? You know, I don't know. But, I mean, to change the transfer portal, I think at this point would be a bit reactionary. And, you know, James Franklin talks about this a lot, Jim, where the college football, college athletics, the NCAA, whatever, they have this tendency to not just self-correct a little bit, but self-correct a lot. And they go from one side of the proverbial coin and proverbial line to the other, and they never stop in the middle and kind of maybe do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and see what happens and then reevaluate. You know, they tend to go from one side, from 0 to 100, and never really consider all those numbers in the middle. So I think that would be the biggest concern about changing it now, is it's still relatively new. I know it doesn't feel that way because we spend so much time talking about it, but in terms of the way it is now compared to how it used to be, that's still relatively new. And I just think wholesale changes at this point would be just a little bit reactionary and a little bit too soon, and could lead to just more problems down the road. You have one of those pellet smokers, Jim, that you can make food on. And, you know, if you're playing with the settings too much and you get it up to 300 and then you drop it down to 225 and then you move to 275 and, you know, it gets confused and you get confused and then you don't know what to do and you mess your food up. And I think moving the transfer portal now could be a little bit of the same deal, where, you know, you change it a little bit this way. Okay, well, maybe that worked, maybe it didn't. Let's change this other thing a couple years from now. And I just think you end up confusing everyone if you try and do things too soon.
Greg, we have a problem. You started talking about food and smoker, and I got totally distracted by that thought. You know, in all seriousness, though, Greg, in talking about the portal, my personal opinion is the players deserve this freedom. Every other college student in the world has the ability to transfer, to switch schools if it's not a good fit for them. So, you know, I don't want to take that away from players. The issue seems to be, is there a way to protect them from themselves, as you brought up, that they will often think that there's greener pastures somewhere else, and they find out that's not the case. And I looked things up, and I found a couple numbers, and I brought this up on our show earlier in the week with Dustin, that not from 2020, but from 2019, there are 63 players from Power 5 conference schools, okay? They were Power 5 players. 63 of them from 2019 still have not found a new school.
Yeah, and see, that's just the crazy part of it all, Jim, is, again, more guys go into it than what come out of it. And I think that that awareness is going to change a bit of how the portal works in years to come. Unfortunately, there are a lot of guys who had to be kind of the guinea pigs, if you will, to, I guess is a fair way to put it, and were the guys who kind of, you know, had to be the example so that there are examples out there of what not to do when you go into the transfer portal. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough, obviously. You know, you hate to see guys lose opportunities. You hate to see guys not find what they're looking for when they do decide to move on. But it's the reality of the situation. Unless there is an increase in the 85-man scholarship limit or the 25-man initial counter thing, I don't know how you fix this. Here's one change I would make, Jim. Here, and this is, I think, something that we've heard James Franklin and some other coaches hit on from time to time. You know, when you look at the way that things work now, if you lose 11 guys to the transfer portal, but you sign 20 recruits, the best you're going to be able to do is get five guys in that because, you know, again, you run up against that 25-man initial counter, so you're only going to be able to replace five of those guys with players from other colleges, and that's obviously extremely challenging. So I would make it a one-for-one, Jim. Excuse me. I would make it a one-for-one, and that if Antonio Shelton goes in the portal, you get one extra space to fill that, not having anything to do with 25 or 85. You fill that one for one. So if you lose 11 guys, and you can find 11 guys in the portal to replace them that have been through a college football program's weight training and off-season and in-season and all that, you know, I think that would be a good place to start, and it would give more opportunities to guys who go in the portal, and it would help schools keep depth and keep, you know, a good rotation of younger guys, you know, in their recruiting class that maybe they know are going to need some time to develop, and they can give those guys that time because they're bringing in older depth. So I think that's probably the biggest change I would make right now. I don't know if I would make wholesale changes, but I do think that would be one place to start. And I also find it very interesting that the portal is supposed to be this private, not public kind of secret thing, Jim. And let's be honest, it gets out there just as fast as a guy goes into the portal.
Well, heck, 24/7 has the link, you know, where you can see the entire list. My question on your tweak, though, to the system, Greg, if you're saying if you lose five guys to the portal, you could bring five guys in, are you saying if I lose zero players to the portal, I can't bring any in? Or
no.
Are you saying I can bring in to get to my 25 max, then for every guy I lose in the portal, I could bring in an additional guy?
That's exactly it. So if you don't lose anyone in this portal, which, let's be honest, how many off seasons will any school have moving forward where they don't lose at least one guy? But yeah, let's say it's a complete rare situation and you don't lose anyone. You can still, in the way my system would work, fill up to your 25. I'm just saying that if you're at that magic number, but you've lost more guys to the portal, you should be able to go over that number to replace what you lost. Because then you, I mean, you get it when you, if a school, like look at Maryland, for example, they're one example, but they're not the only one. I mean, if you have a bunch of guys who decide to leave, whether it's because coaching changed, whether it's because they're not happy with the way the program is, whether it's because they committed last year during a pandemic, or we're going to deal with that in this class too, and things weren't exactly what they thought they were going to be when they got to campus. I mean, you can get into some pretty tricky situations with depth. And with just competitive balance and health and safety and guys not, you know, having to take a bunch of snaps in practice and things like that, I mean, it can get out of hand in a hurry. So I do think it's important that schools have the chance to kind of recalibrate when they need to. And look, you might not always be able to find a replacement. Maybe you don't even want a replacement. Maybe you just want to let things slow down a little bit. But, you know, when Penn State loses X number of guys to the portal and they can't replace all of them, you know, there's a certain part of it that, you know, maybe they don't want to replace all of them. But I think there's also a certain aspect of it where, you know, they do, but they know that they're going to run into numbers or number problems either with the 25 or the 85. So that's the biggest challenge for sure moving forward is how can you combat that and answer both the competitive balance problem, the depth problem, and the problem of more guys go in than what come out. And, you know, can this change, would this change create more opportunities for those guys moving forward?
Should there be any restrictions at all on the movement. Now, this year, everyone's given that free transfer with everything going on with the pandemic and all. The pandemic seems to be the reason or excuse for almost anything now. But going forward, should there be any restriction, or should players always be a free agent? If I want multiple free transfers, so I could play at Penn State this year, Ohio State next year, and then Michigan the following year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people are not totally totally willing to go down that path, Jim, and I get it. I mean, to your point, though, if you're a regular college student, you can kind of move around at will. I mean, I think the answer to that question just becomes, at what point, and, you know, name, image, and likeness is a part of this conversation, the transfer thing is a part of this conversation. I mean, what point is it eventually or finally recognized that this is a minor league sport for the NFL, basically, and we can call it college football if we want, and we can say that there's an academic component to it, and of course there is, but, you know, I think there's some things, obviously, that have been kind of brushed under the rug or kind of shrugged at for a long time, and moving around at will like a free agent is one that, you know, there's been a way to kind of circumvent the system a bit with grad transfers and things like that, but it might become more prevalent now, and now we're talking about guys being able to get paid for their name, image, and likeness. So, you know, there's so much changing at a quick pace right now in college football, and some of it's going to take longer. You know, it gets to the front of the line, and then it gets tied up and debated and tabled and things like that. I mean, nothing tends to happen super, super fast within college athletics or the NCAA, but, you know, there's a lot of change going on right now. And I guess to answer your question, though, do I think guys should be able to just move around wherever they want? If we get to a point where we acknowledge that it's not amateurism and it is an actual job, or, you know, then I think at that point it would have to happen. But for right now, I don't see that being the case.
What would you think if the rule were you need to have 2 years at a school to get a free pass to go somewhere else? So if you're an incoming freshman, you've only barely been at the campus, you can't go, you need a second year in to get a free pass. Then if you go somewhere else, you have to spend 2 years there before moving on again.
I could see that as being a decent solution that I think would probably appease just about everybody. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get to a point, Jim, where everyone's happy with the way the rules are, but that seems to be about as equitable as anything. Of course, again, you're always going to come back to the argument that, well, if I go to Penn State and I don't like it after a year and I want to transfer to Bucknell, I can. If I want to transfer from Bucknell to USC, I can. And if I'm just a regular student and I can get into the school and afford it, pay for it, I'm good to go. So, you know, you're always going to have that side of the coin. But, you know, I think 2 years would give a lot of guys, it would be less reactionary for a lot of them. And because of that, it would help solve that issue of, at least in part, of guys going into the portal and then finding out they have nowhere to go. Because obviously that's something that's going to get talked about a lot. It already has been. It will be more moving forward.
All right, that has to be the final word on the topic. That is it for this edition of our show. Thank you for tuning in, and join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates, and the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.